It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
7 o'clock tonight. Woo! Chiefs and Bears.
I'm so excited.
You really get into the preseason?
Oh my gosh. I don't even care. I'm just so excited it's back and it's on. And
I was going to say, I'm just excited that it's the last preseason
game. Me too.
And you know what that means? The next game's the real season.
We're 14 days away, right?
Yep.
14 days away. That's correct. First, we kick off the season with Thursday night football. Since we were the Super Bowl champions, we get the first game and we're taking on the Ravens.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
I can't wait for college football. That's what I want.
Will it be really, like, will they be playing tonight or still really they're not playing tonight?
There will no starters.
Still no? No,
there will not be tonight. A single starter on the field tonight.
It's all right. It's all right.
Well, the Bears will probably try out some starters, but we will not.
Okay. I'm so excited.
They need to.
They got to figure out who they're going to be playing.
After last season, yeah. Lost their quarterback. Good afternoon, everybody. Good to be with you on Chiefs Thursday. New list out. States that swear the most.
Oh, you've got to be blanking kidding me.
Okay. Massachusetts. I feel like all of Boston ranks in the top 5.
Man, even my glasses don't help me zoom in that close. No, Massachusetts is, no, they're kind of mid-tier.
New York?
Surprisingly, no. New York came in 17th.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm going off memory here. This is the most bizarre chart. There's no story attached
with it.
Yeah, it's
very odd. It's just a chart.
So I'm going off memory.
There's a story attached in there.
Was it in there?
Yeah.
Well, it's not next to the map. I do know that the three that cuss the least are North Dakota, South Dakota.
That's because there's no one there.
Because
you can't curse if you're not there.
I don't
there.
Think it's cumulative.
They all individually cuss a lot, but there's not enough people.
It's just one old crotchety lady named Eunice.
That's the only reason.
She lets them rip.
That's the only reason South Dakota's on the list is Eunice. I do know that, and I'm going off memory because I read the story this morning. Maryland, I believe, is number one. Virginia is number two.
Maryland has a score of 63.3. That is the highest score that was given to any of the states. Maryland, not far behind.
Maryland!
Virginia, excuse me, not far behind at 47.6. Number two is actually Louisiana.
Georgia's got a 57.4.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Huh.
Kansas and Missouri right in the middle of the pack.
Of course. I'm disappointed. I would have liked to have been higher.
Now, Kansas City, when it comes to the state of Missouri, cusses the most.
Okay. That didn't surprise me.
Well, yeah. You're here.
I'm single-handedly bringing up the
By the way, they break average. It down by continent, and in the top 5 cities for North America all fall in the United States. Canada does not pick up the slack.
Baltimore is the cursiest city in the Union. Baton Rouge, Atlanta, Detroit, and Houston.
Houston?
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta doesn't surprise me. Detroit doesn't surprise me.
In Europe, the top 4 cities are all in England.
Ha!
Yeah, by the way,
the fifth is in Ireland.
The S word takes the cake.
Is that the big one?
That is the big one.
Huh.
That's one of my favorites. It's probably in the top 3.
What are the other ones, Dana?
You want me to let them rip?
No.
You can once.
One time.
Happy to do it.
All right, story here. We will get to a story out of the Northland coming up just a moment.
There's a bunch of them today.
Yeah. Just this story real quick. A new study has found that marriage is great for keeping you healthy if you're a man. if you're a man. The study found
then you should be super healthy.
Wow.
It didn't say number of marriages. It just said marriage. Very good. The study found no correlation between marriage and improved well-being for women. It was a Canadian study. They found married men had better physical and mental health than middle-aged bachelors.
That's got to do with loneliness.
I think it has to do with loneliness, and I think it also has to do with the fact that if you have a partner in your life and you're thinking, you know, I should probably go see a dermatologist, but I don't really want to make the appointment. If you have somebody with you in your life, they will say, pick up the phone right now and make the damn doctor appointment. Mm-hmm. Do it.
Do you think men don't do that in reverse to women, and that's why there's no correlation?
Correct.
Oh, men refuse to go to the doctor.
Correct.
Not me.
Like, I think women are really good about getting their annual mammogram, getting their annual gynecological visit. Outside of that, I don't think we're great either at just the primary care. How you doing? You know, I don't think we're great at that. I think I do the big bad ones. I want to make sure I don't have cervical cancer or breast cancer.
So you don't do your annual exam?
I do.
Okay.
But not with like a primary care. Like I go to primary care for medicine refills. And like when I needed a cortisone shot in my arm for my rotator cuff.
But you never have your blood drawn?
Nah. Well, Dr. Tagg's done that, so.
But does he test for, like, everything?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not a big primary care kind of gal.
I haven't been to the doctor since I had an abscess caused by my wisdom teeth.
Samuel!
And outside of that, I haven't been since high school.
When was that?
My wisdom teeth?
Yeah.
I worked here within the last couple of years.
Ugh! God, is there anything worse? I mean, that surgery is just terrible.
The surgery was fine. I don't remember any of it. It was the pain for, I don't know, like a week and a half waiting until I could get the surgery because the abscess doesn't go away.
Ugh.
And you can't exactly just chalk yourself up with a bunch of painkillers and show up and push buttons on the radio.
All right. Can we talk about, I hate to like right out of the gate go straight to shooting, but this is an outlier. Okay. And it appears this is Platt. And I don't know if that's something that Eric's going to be able to comment on or not, but we'll text him during the break. A man has been charged with murder for a shooting in the Walmart parking lot near I-29 and Berry Road. Okay? He's accused of second-degree murder and armed criminal action. Got it. Platte County Prosecuting Attorney Eric Zahn says, quote, "We allege this defendant shot someone in broad daylight in the parking lot of a major retailer. That is equally tragic and disturbing. The man's name is Takiza Johnson. And apparently, video surveillance shows him walking across the crosswalk after leaving the scene. The victim's vehicle drives past, and Johnson, according to surveillance, extends his arm toward the vehicle. Victim's vehicle then slams in reverse, stops. Guy gets out. According to the probable cause stuff, Johnson then turns, approaches, and at some point fires. Now, we are hearing that the person charged in this case used to be in...
He was a Kansas City, Missouri police officer for 11 years. Yeah. Retired several years ago.
Do we know the nexus of the, not that anything you can say, I'd be like, oh, well, that makes sense. Do we know what broad daylight Walmart parking lot? What happened?
And I'm going through the stack. It came in just a little bit late, but I've read the story like three different times. Here's the way I read how this went down. Johnson, the former Kansas City, Missouri police officer, was walking out of the Walmart with a six-pack of beer.
Okay.
He was walking down the sidewalk in front of the Walmart. He gets to the crosswalk.
Okay.
He starts going to walk across the crosswalk. Cars are supposed to yield to pedestrians.
Right.
The Barrett, I believe, was the victim's last name. Mr. Barrett, who's 71, did not stop. And he
just went through the crosswalk.
As Johnson was walking across it. At which point Johnson or Barrett extended his arm at Johnson, not with a weapon, just like back up or whatever. Barrett then stops his car, the 71-year-old, backs it up and gets out.
Oh, God. Do not ever get out of your car. We have talked about this.
The former police officer, Johnson, approaches but then turns around and goes back to his vehicle.
Good.
Okay. Confrontation averted.
At that point.
The former police officer, Johnson, gets in his car, watches Mr. Barrett park his car. As Johnson backs his car up, Barrett, the 71-year-old, is walking across the parking lot to go into Walmart, at which point Johnson allegedly puts a gun out the window of his car and shoots Mr. Barrett and then drove off.
Wow.
Police found Johnson, the former police officer, at an apartment 8 minutes later, wearing different clothing.
Police spoke to Johnson's wife outside of his apartment, according to the affidavit, and she allegedly told officers that Johnson got home and said that he got into a confrontation outside of the Walmart.
Okay, I have so many questions. Why, if in fact the confrontation seemed over the crosswalk, if it is alleged, and this is on surveillance, that the former officer walked to his car, waited, got in the car, backed out, went toward the pedestrian who's now just trying to go to Walmart, the 71-year-old guy, then fired. If all of that is true, how is that not premeditated? Just the drive to get from point A to point B is your premeditation.
So you're asking why is he only charged with second-degree murder,
yes,
not first?
If you walk to the kitchen to get a knife, to stab me with that knife, that is all they need for premeditation.
But wouldn't you argue then, for the most part, every murder would be premeditated?
Heat of passion would not. There would be a, for me, there are a couple of exceptions.
But Eric Zahn, who you and I both know is one of the great prosecutors in our community, knows that he has to charge what he thinks he can get. And if it, you could make, any good defense lawyer could make an argument that this was a heat of passion murder, that former Officer Johnson felt disrespected or was angry at what just transpired, and in the heat of the moment, got in his car, and within 1 minute, maybe a minute and a half max, shot Barrett.
It all depends on how close he got to him on the crosswalk.
But even crosswalk, if, no, it doesn't, Sam, here's why. Here's why it doesn't matter. He wasn't struck, and at the time that he is alleged to have shot this man, it was over. If you said to me, Sam, he thought he was going to be struck by a car, and in that moment he pulled his gun, at the exact moment the car was about to hit him, and shot in through the window because he felt fear for his life, we could have that conversation.
That would be a separate argument,
though. This is completely different, where it's over. There is no injury. He's alleged to have walked to his car, waited, backed out, then re-confronted this poor 71-year-old that's just trying to go in and go to Walmart.
Listen, I own guns. I'll never shoot a human being unless they break into my house. It's not worth going to prison for.
But I can see the argument for premeditation, especially because he sat in his car, watched him walk through the parking lot, and waited until he was in a position, allegedly, that he could drive by.
There's no threat at that time. I don't even know that there was a threat at the time he was walking across. How many times have you been in a crosswalk in your car?
Oh, sure.
And you're not completely paying attention, and someone pops out, you know, of a Walmart or a Target or, you know what, like a CVS that's more flush with the street. And you're like, oh, sorry.
Oh, sure.
Go ahead.
Countless times.
The Target right over here. You pull around the corner and people are crossing the street.
All right, we got to take a quick break. If you want to weigh in, we'd love to have you. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Finally found the full story, and then we'll get to your calls here in just a moment at 913-586-7798. A man has been charged with murder in a fatal shooting near a Northland Walmart this week, according to court documents. Takeza Johnson, he's 47 years old, turns out a former member of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department for 11 years, was charged today with second-degree murder and armed criminal action in connection with the death of 71-year-old Ronald Barnett. The shooting happened just before 4:30 yesterday in a parking lot near shops at the Boardwalk Shopping Mall. Officers found Mr. Barnett, 71 years old, with a gunshot wound. He was transported to a hospital where he later died. Also in this story, and this bears noting, the shooting is the 96th homicide in Kansas City this year. Now, in fairness, at this time last year, the city had 133. If you're just joining us, to repeat ourselves very quickly, Takeza Johnson was walking out of the Walmart, crossing a crosswalk, when Mr. Barnett, who was in his car, drove past Johnson and apparently didn't stop for him walking through the crosswalk. Johnson, there was a little staring at each other, and then, because Barnett got out of his car, Johnson walks away. Smart move. Gets in his car and watches Mr. Barnett park. As Mr. Barnett is walking toward the Walmart, Johnson allegedly backs his car out of his spot, drives by Barnett, shoots him out of the car window.
God.
Adam in Kansas City. Adam, hello.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. I am in no way defending the shooter, but I think his defense is going to be, when Barnett got out of the car, could that be perceived as a threat? And if so, how long does that threat last for?
Great question. Because at the time, you could make the argument, Adam, I think, that I felt threatened at the time he got out of the car. The problem here is, according to, I think, surveillance, and we don't know where he was parked, but the former officer walks back to the car, gets in the car.
At that point, it's diffused.
At that point, it's over. You know, it's almost like, you know, you've heard you can't shoot someone as they're running away from your sidewalk outside of your house, right?
Once they retreat, the threat is
so
no longer
this,
there.
This was clearly a 71-year-old that had retreated, was walking into one. The 71-year-old thought this was so not a big deal. Think about it this way, Scott. The deceased thought this was so over and not a big deal that he strolled on into Walmart like nothing had happened. Mm-hmm. If this really was some scary, oh my God, I feel like my life's in danger thing, you would have gone back to your car and been like, you know what? The trip to Walmart ain't worth it. I'm getting out of here. That guy looks crazy.
Adam, it's a great question, but here's, let me add to that if I can. How much of a threat, and I don't mean any disrespect to people who are 70 or older, but how much of a physical threat could a 71-year-old man be to a former police officer who's 24 years his junior? And also, I'll backtrack to the point. Once they separate,
over.
And I know what my other point was going to be. To use lethal force, you have to fear that your life is in danger.
Not was in danger. And I don't even know that I agree with it was in danger.
Well, not to mention, once he gets in his vehicle, he has the ability to lock it and protect himself from any perceived threat outside of it.
Well, you just drive off at that point.
Yeah.
Steve in Independence. Steve, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, my question is, these people that come out of Walmart and all these sidewalks and everything, they come out of the store on their cell phones and they're walking. People are trying to park. And they don't even look. They just walk right out in front of the cars. That's what makes people mad. It's like, we know you got the right of way, but get off your cell phone and go from there.
Well, we don't know that Johnson was on his cell phone. I don't think there's video, at least not that's been released.
Oh, I understand. I'm just saying, 3/4 of the people that come out of Walmart, grocery stores, they're on their cell phone,
yeah,
walking out there like they got the right of way no matter what.
Well, as a pedestrian, you do, Steve, have the right of way no matter what.
Whether on your cell phone or not.
Okie doke.
All right, buddy.
I'm not saying it's smart walk in a crosswalk with your nose down in your phone. You still have the right of way.
Exactly right.
Those diagonal lines mean that you have the right of way. Well, you have the right of way without the diagonal lines, but it certainly means you have the right of way when they're there.
Telephone number 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Sam Stevie III. Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The charge is second-degree murder against a former Kansas City, Missouri police officer, Takeza Johnson, 47 years old, accused of killing a man, Ronald Barnett, 71, in the parking lot of a Northland Walmart yesterday afternoon, about 4:30. They had a little altercation. Johnson was doing the crosswalk. Barnett, the older guy, apparently didn't stop. They had a little face-to-face. Everything diffuses. Johnson goes to his car, waits for Barnett to get out of his, drives by and allegedly shoots him dead. Alex in Iowa. Alex, good afternoon. Hello.
How's it going, guys?
It's going well. Thank you.
I'll just say I can't wait to put on my Alex Smith jersey and watch some football tonight.
Right on.
But but I'm with Dana on this one. He left, got in his car. Now, the thing of it is, though, I know we're playing armchair quarterback right now, but if he had his gun on his person in that moment and he thought he was going to get ran over in the crosswalk, he could have drawn it there. So my best guess, and it's just an opinion, is that he had it in his car. He had that time to figure out what he wanted to do, no matter how much time it was, a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes. He knew, and I don't get how it can't be premeditated. He had to drive up there to shoot the gentleman outside of his window, and instead he, you know, when he could have went home.
He should have gone home.
With Dana, absolutely. I mean, the way I look at it is everybody's in life right now is that we're so big on being the person that wants to get the last word, and we were too divided, and we just, you know, we're too big on being the bigger person and getting the last word. And I guess that's how he got the last word on the situation.
It's so sad and so avoidable.
Would you agree with me on this? And I don't think he's undercharged. I do think I agree with Eric Zahn that this is a second-degree murder, and as I said before, Eric has to go after a charge he thinks he can get a conviction. But would you not agree that most prosecutors would tell you there is no time limit on premeditated murder? It could be 5 seconds, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 5 months.
I think the law would tell you that.
I agree with Sam, but I think when you put this in front of a jury, let's talk about time. And, mm-hmm. I gave the case that I always remember from one of the law classes I took at KU was the time it takes you to walk to the kitchen to grab the knife to come back in and stab someone to death is all they need for premeditation. 5 seconds, you start talking 1 to 3 seconds, and then I think it's hard to prove premeditation. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
We had the story in the Metro.
Sam, jump in. I didn't know you took a law class.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you and I like to play lawyer on the radio.
No, I had no idea. I started out pre-law until, I don't know, sophomore year or something.
Old Green Hall
at KU.
I'll be darned.
We had the story in the Metro recently where it was the husband and the wife, and they had been fighting, and it was alleged that he had been choking her. And he told her in the fight, according to the affidavit, to go to the room and get the gun and shoot him, and she did, and she was charged with murder. Again, all alleged.
First degree?
I don't remember if it was first degree, but there
because
was
in my example there, making the choice that you are now going to walk into another room, grab a weapon, come back and shoot. I can see the argument made. That's all you need for you put enough thought into that that it's premeditated.
913-586-7798. Mike in Topeka. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, I definitely think any argument that or defense that he would try to claim that this was self-defense in some way is going to go out the window very quickly because, you know, they did separate. His life was not in imminent danger of great bodily harm or death, which is the actual terminology that they use. Your life has to be in imminent danger of great bodily harm or death. Neither of those things met that criteria. He had to re-engage, so he became the aggressor. And then the biggest nail in his coffin is, I believe it's called mens rea, a criminal mindset, where he left the scene and he didn't call 911. He didn't call for help. If he had shot the guy and immediately tried to A, render aid, and B, called 911 and explained, you know, we had this verbal altercation, it got escalated, I was in fear for my life, or, you know, whatever excuse he wants to come up with, then maybe he would have a better chance to make that argument. But because he left the scene and the cops had to come find him, in my book, that makes him automatically guilty.
Okay. Mike, great to hear your voice, man.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
From the text line, it is absolutely crazy that someone would throw the rest of their life away because someone looked at you wrong. It just blows my mind.
Yep.
That's from 6906. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. The former police officer charged with second-degree murder, armed criminal action. This incident occurred yesterday at 4:30 in the afternoon at the Walmart in the Northland near the Boardwalk Shopping Mall, where officers found Mr. Barnett, 71 years old, with a gunshot wound, transported to the hospital where he died. Bob in Kansas City. Bob, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon. Just a quick update on what you said. It wasn't a shot from the car. The victim parked their car, started to walk towards the Walmart. The suspect then followed the victim, got out of their car, and shot them. So there's, in my opinion, no castle doctrine, no stand your ground. None of that is applicable here in this case, just because of the time between the initial interaction and the actual shooting.
You know, you're right. I just read that paragraph in the story. Johnson does get in his car, drives toward Mr. Barnett, exits the vehicle, and then
shoots him. That's it. You can't do that.
You can't. And the sad thing is, this is three murders in 24 hours in this city. It's just horrible what we're dealing with right now as far as violent crime in this town. It's just mind-boggling.
What I think is mind-boggling is when I read the story, I noted that it was the 96th homicide this year.
Yeah.
At this same time last year.
We're not even out of summer.
No. At this time last year, though, it was 133. And somehow in my mind, I think of that as an improvement. I guess it is. But it's still 96.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
The worst kind of improvement possible, but still an improvement.
Yeah, I was watching a news story, a news show earlier this summer, and I can't remember who was talking. It was one of the national shows. And somebody pointed out that at the beginning of summer, think about this. At the beginning of summer, Boston had five murders.
Five.
One of the largest cities in the nation had five.
How?
You think every police chief in the entire country isn't calling the Boston police chief going, what's going on? How do you do it?
And is it possible, like we had that enormous dip in crime, I think it was in 2017, there was another homicide year that was way down. Mm-hmm. Is it possible the chief's answer is we don't know?
It's possible.
The crime goes down, the crime goes up. Sometimes you can track those trends, sometimes you can't.
Becky in North Kansas City. Becky, hello.
Five, man. Hi, Becky.
Hi. I am very concerned that this accused alleged shooter is a former police officer. If anybody is supposed to understand how to de-escalate a situation, it should have been him. And if I am someone who has been arrested by this person during his time on the force, I'm absolutely going to question whether it was a proper arrest or not, or was it him being aggressive?
I was going to say earlier, Becky, and thank you for pointing it out, that it, of all people, someone on the force for 11 years, whether he was a good cop or not, you would know what the damn law says with respect to lethal force. You would have more of an understanding than almost any layperson about what the law says about what exactly ended up happening in that parking lot.
In May of this year, Boston had 3 murders. That's according to Northeastern University.
By the way, our record low was 2017. Dana, I don't know how you remember those things.
I remember.
She has a weird crime.
A Rolodex brain. Of crime knowledge brain. Over here.
I don't know how or why.
Bob and Bonner. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. Hi. Hey, guys. Love the show. Great job every night.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know. As soon as I heard this story, it instantly reminded me of the John Cheek case we had back in 1997, I think it was.
I covered that trial.
When was it? Was he a former cop or a current cop?
He was a former, I believe, Bonner Springs police officer, and if I'm not mistaken, he was working at a bar as a bouncer.
Yeah. There was an argument or a fight, and the fight was over, and he went outside, got a gun, came back and shot the guy, wasn't it? I mean, this is almost
I covered the trial, but it was 25 years ago. I remember he was found guilty.
But I couldn't remember what
jury deliberations lasted for, I think, a week.
Yeah. It was a big deal around. I'm in Bonner now, and I actually just drove by the bar it happened, or the building it happened in. So it just reminded me of that. I was wondering what that guy got charged with and how that turned out.
I'm thinking it was second degree murder, Bob, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, then maybe it does fit. I agree with Dana that this should be premeditated, but if that was second degree, this is pretty similar.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Hey.
Thanks, Rob. Do appreciate it. Doug in Ottawa. Hello.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, this guy was a police officer. He was trained extensively to defuse situations like this and to know that the only reason you pull a gun is to kill somebody. So he should have known better. I've carried a firearm with a concealed weapon license for 20 years. And you don't pull a gun out unless you intend to kill somebody. So he knew what he was going to do before he even pulled it.
All right, Doug. From the Christian Science Monitor, similar-sized cities to Boston, like Detroit, Washington, D.C., had 200 or more homicides last year. So this is 2023.
Okay.
Last year in Boston, they had 37. As of May of this year, and I can't get
How
any...
How did we miss that headline?
As of May of this year, they only had 3. I cannot find any updated numbers in Boston.
But they had 37...
37 last year.
In 2023.
3 as of May of this year. That is a decline of 82%.
Wow.
And it just says here in the Christian Science Monitor, Boston is at once a prime example of what is going right in policing and of how much remains to be done. Says the police have started strategies that embrace communities as partners and collaborators. That's all it says.
Here's another one. Boston officials attribute a low homicide rate to, are you ready for this? Luck. I swear to God, that's what this says. And I'm telling you, even back in 2017, if you asked 100 police officers in Kansas City, why did the numbers dip that year? You will get 100 different answers. They attribute it to luck, more data, and a longstanding violence prevention program that pairs police with clergy.
Started in the 90s. What were you going to say, Sam?
I'm seeing a variety of death investigations in the last week alone within the city of Boston, including one being a double shooting.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. We may come back at 5 o'clock. We'll just see how the show goes to this Boston homicide story, which is just mind-boggling that a city of that size. Sam, would you mind just looking up, if you would be so kind, the total population only of the city of Boston,
it's
not
650,000. I just did it.
Okay, so clearly
I just reached out to KCPD and I said, what the hell, have you guys seen this? 5 murders up to this point.
No, 10 up to this point.
10 up to this point.
I found a website that updated it,
but only 37
last year
In 2023.
So if I'm doing my math right, they're on track to have 17 murders this year. That's 17.
That is remarkable.
Eric in Raymore, you get the last word on our Walmart shooting story, and then we're going to move on to some other stuff.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, what's up, family? How y'all doing?
We're doing well. It's good to hear your voice.
Good. I need to come in and, you know, my background, law enforcement, and I'm a CCW instructor. That's why I teach. He's pretty much going to get charged with second-degree murder. And the reason being is that you have the five elements of self-defense. You got avoidance, innocence, reasonableness, proportionality, and you got imminent. I don't see it. And then you're dealing with also the gem elements, jeopardy, ability, and means. When he approached the older guy, he was, what, 71-year-old guy, right?
Yes.
Right? When he approached him and he was walking toward the store, in that situation, he was the instigator of the whole entire incident.
Because it resets, doesn't it, Eric? Once they both went back to their cars, it resets.
So both of them, so did the other guy have a weapon? Did he brandish a weapon?
We don't believe so.
Yeah. Now, when you're dealing with jeopardy, building a means, the means mean you have to have a weapon to threaten someone. And then ability means distance, range. And then jeopardy is threat. Did he verbally threaten him? Was that stated or not?
We don't believe there was verbal, Eric. Always appreciate your call. Thank you for it. I will say this again. Every single time this comes up on the program, we reiterate it. Nothing good ever comes from you getting out of your car.
Correct.
In any road situation involving road rage or anger, how many times have we seen it that the second you exit that car, it ratchets it up to almost the point of no return?
Breathe and de-escalate.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Just keep driving. Just
breathe.
Go.
CT Sam, that's conspiracy theorist Sam. His conspiracy theory just got a little bit deeper. They have found the body of that English
billionaire.
Yes, he was the fifth. His daughter is still missing.
Yes, the sixth body, which is his daughter, is still missing.
So now the two men who got how many billions was it?
That would be 11 of the billions, okay. Sir.
One of them was hit by a car the other day.
11 more than I have.
Right. One of them was hit by a car the other day and died, and now God got involved and created a water spout and sunk the yacht that Mike Lynch was on, and his body has been identified.
But again, after a tornado went onto the water and created some sort of tornadic water spout, which makes the conspiracy theory with the boat, to me, difficult to believe.
Or was
CT
it?
CT Sam.
Okay. Going to whip up a water spout and take that guy out.
I don't know.
Make it look like an accident.
Who gets the $11 billion now?
So I don't know if you saw this story. Speaking of the Chiefs tonight, 7 o'clock out at Arrowhead, NBC News. The football is going to make its debut at the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. But not like you think of it.
Oh, I was going to say.
It's flag football. The quarterback of Team USA flag football says he is better at football than Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Why doesn't that guy just calm down?
Speaking of de-escalation.
He says he's a higher football IQ
than
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Says he knows the game better.
Okay. Okay.
Patrick Mahomes responded, but it was just a meme. I don't remember what celebrity it was, just rolling their eyes into the back of their head.
Okay.
And doing the who, me thing?
Right. Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum. Here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.